Whether it's a salad, a hamburger, or that egg sandwich you eat every morning, the way your meal gets made has an impact. The What You're Eating podcast wants to help you understand how your food gets to your plate. Join host Jerusha Klemper as she uncovers the problems with the industrial food system and how you can overcome them. From practical conversations with farmers and chefs to discussions with policy experts on the barriers to sustainability, Food Prints podcast doesn't just cover what you're eating, it covers everything from the why to the how. Listen and subscribe to What You're Eating at foodprint.org/whatyoureeating or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagon podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times, here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast, and the only podcast that records a show even on vacation. I'm your host, Nate, and this is a super low-key, super low expectation show where we're just going to discuss some championship games from yesterday and a few Bills topics, of course, if we have time. I mentioned last week, by the way, I'm actually on vacation in Florida this week and just bypassing the snow. We're doing a trip with some family. Actually on the podcast today, just because I don't like talking to myself. It sounds kind of stupid. Talking with Uncle Bob, my son's uncle, my sister's husband, my sister's brother, and Bob, man, it's good to talk to you.
Good to be back, Nate.
You've never been on, so
oh, that's right. Sorry.
I made sure of that. By the way, I did tell listeners last week we did an episode with Ryan Talbot of NewYorkUpstate.com, just talking Bills and just expectations for the 2019 season, looking back at the 2018 season. And I warned them, I said, you know, just so you know, next week, if we end up doing one, it's going to be low level expectations. It's going to be like Billy Joe Hobert, maybe like Nathan Peterman.
Right. Yeah. No chance of having any entertainment.
Yeah. This is just for like the 13 listeners that are still listening in the off season. So we actually bypassed the storm. The storm, winter storm Harper that came through, people were saying that they got like a foot and a half of snow. Some say 2 feet of snow. And we just got out. It wasn't our plan to leave then.
We booked this back in September and we luckily flew out the day before the storm hit.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. So we got our vacation thing from Friday to Friday, which is very abnormal. But we're like, well, it's the only time we could get it. So we're either going to not do a vacation this year or do it then and end up working out perfectly.
Yeah, perfect.
Never works out that way. Usually, when you go down south on vacation, it's like 60 degrees in Rochester.
It's nice back home. You're nice, like regretting it, but yeah. We did good this time.
Yeah, we did. We did. January, 60 degrees, like high of 60, like in Rochester and Buffalo. Like, this has never happened before. Yep, that's when we go on vacation. But it actually worked out well. Did you guys ever, like growing up with school buses and stuff like that, I don't know how it was for you, but where I went to high school, we never got snow days. It felt like all the school districts around us got snow days.
Yeah, it felt like that a couple times, but we had our fair amount of snow days, which was nice. But there were some times that we were on the bus and seemed like we couldn't have made it to school. And so we're all little kids signing like a big petition, you know, to have the principal or whatever fired, you know, just messing around. But yeah, we stayed on par where we went to high school with all the surrounding schools, you know, mm-hmm. as far as like getting the snow days.
Nice. Nice. Well, it's actually cool to be down here in the sun when it's nice. It's you know, but it's weird because we're in Dolphin Country, right?
Yeah.
We parked right in the parking lot and of this hotel we're staying at, and there's this big, huge.
Yeah, it's like a shrink wrap Miami Dolphins van.
It's like got all of the. It is no joke. Like what they call it? Was it a converted ambulance?
Yeah, it looked like an old ambulance, but it was in pretty good shape, and it was all done up with all the old players and some newer players.
Like a ton. It's got like all the players, all the famous like Hall of Famers, and then it's got actual like pictures of of Dan Marino
and
Bonacati, just like all these famous like Zonka. And at first I'm like, man, screw these guys, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about doing some vandalism on it, but, you know, I didn't want to get arrested on vacation.
And the more I look at it, the more I'm just like, like that's kind of nice, actually. If that was a Bills ambulance,
yeah,
that'd be pretty sick.
We'd find Jim the owner Kelly. And go for a cruise around Miami.
Yeah, we'd bro out. So we actually ran into a Bills fan yesterday while we were doing our quote-unquote timeshare presentation.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I'm from Hamburg. You know, are you guys Bills fans? Like, yeah, you know, we're Bills fans. We got the jacket. You know, his son's got the Bills hat on, and we both got our Bills stuff on. Dude, we travel with so much Bills stuff on.
Yeah. My favorite flying shirt is a Buffalo Bills Nike shirt. And I get flack with it once in a while. I remember flying into Jacksonville one time. One of the security guys actually said it was a nice shirt.
Oh, really?
Which was surprising.
Security, really? Yeah. Oh, maybe it's from Buffalo. But yeah, so timeshare presentations, real quick, before we get into the championship games, timeshare presentations. We thought we were going to, because we already own one. This is actually just our timeshare that we're staying at this week. And they stopped us when we checked in, like, hey, do you guys want to do this breakfast? Where, you know, we just do a survey. We're like, well, we already own a timeshare. We're not going to buy another one. And
right.
They're like, yeah, you know, well, it's just a survey.
Yeah, they try to rope us into another sales presentation and all that, which I kind of figured they were going to. But we were able to skate out of it with a nice buffet breakfast, and a gift card.
And a gift card for free. Like, no.
Without having to sit through anything.
That guy could tell as soon as we went out and talked with him that he was we were not.
Yeah, so he bailed on us, and he went for another mark.
Another mark. Somebody else willing to buy it. But, yeah. And he had me hooked, man. I was thinking about just buying something, just talking to him. He's like, oh, I'm from UB.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, I went to school at UB.
Yes, he did.
He just said that because he saw I had the Bills hat on. Right. If he was like, oh, I'm a Bills fan, I'd be like, whatever you're selling, I'm taking it. So we were actually out at the mini golf course enjoying some of the sun when we caught the end of the Saints Rams game yesterday. So just a quick background. I mean, your father's from Louisiana area.
Yeah,
so you guys,
New Orleans way, Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge.
So we've always had a little tie back into the Saints program. Remember rooting for them growing up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they make it this far in the season, I kind of switch over to them because Buffalo has a hard time making it this far. So Saints are the team we root for, me and Ma and, you know, the rest of the fam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think they're a very rootable team. I was putting on Twitter that, like, you know, Drew Brees just turned 40, and he's the NFL leading passer, and, like, he has a chance to win it all. They had a great team. And a lot of people on Twitter agreed with me, and it was just, like, just a few wanted someone else to win. But really, everyone wanted, like, Drew Brees to win it all.
Yeah, he's pretty good, and he holds the city together, it seems, pretty well. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody in that city loves him, and I wish we could get a quarterback quite like him. I think Josh Allen might have the potential as long as he stays with us. Doesn't go and win a championship for some other team.
You mean like Drew Brees did, basically? Well, Drew Brees was supposed to be out of the season after like 2006 because of his devastating shoulder injury, and he just ended. But let's get to the play of the game, which is, like, obviously we were both rooting for the Saints. It's an easy team to root for this season, and it was just. Basically what happened is, and I'm sure everyone saw the replay if they didn't watch the game, was the Saints were driving. It was 20-20, I believe, or was it 20? I don't remember. I think it was tied.
It was tied, yes.
And it was like less than 2 minutes left.
Yep.
And it was third down, and Drew Brees throws a pass where only the receiver could probably catch it. And Nickell Robey-Coleman, actually former Bill, who is a Los Angeles cornerback now, a Rams cornerback, just levels the guy.
Yeah, just takes him out. I mean, wasn't looking back at the ball at all.
Nope.
I mean, and just totally plowed into him, took him out.
He just mugged him.
Yeah. And we watched it after we hit that bucket of balls at the driving range, and we were watching, and I thought for sure the flags were coming out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just like, where are they? It's like, what's going on here?
It was,
you know?
Yeah. That was the worst call, I think. And, you know,
it was the worst, yeah, non-call.
Non-call.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell, man?
Well, with Bills games, it's like we always think the refs are against us, right? Because they usually are,
in all honesty. Yeah, they don't do too well.
No. They're terrible. But when you see a game like this and you're just
the whole season's on the line. You work so hard to do something all season to get to this point and you leave it up to a ref standing right there almost not seeing the guy get taken out before the ball gets to him. It's like, come on.
Oh, yeah. He didn't look back at it. He hit him before the ball could get there. I mean, there were just like three things that should have led to a pass interference call. And if they had had that pass interference call, they would have had first and 10 with like a minute left.
Right. They could have easily pushed him maybe a little farther and got the field goal to win it at the end, you know, not left any time back.
Exactly. Left just like ran three times, used up all the time with 2 seconds left, kicked the field goal to win it, which is how it should have been.
Right.
Really, and it was just, I don't know.
We'll call that the Bird Box non-call of the NFL, I guess, if you're familiar with that Netflix movie with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, with a blindfold, you mean? Like the ref with the blindfold?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, man, it's bad. It's just...
I think for a championship game, it should, rules should change where something like that should be reviewed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to, you know, review a penalty, you know, or a non-call, but you're ruining, you know, the whole season on this, you know, call that should have. It's just blatant. It's just, I mean, it's not right at all, you know, and you're leaving it up to some guy on the field to call it. And if they don't do it, then it doesn't then it happen. It doesn't make sense to me.
No.
But, I mean, through the regular season, I can see where, you know, that, you know, you could let it kind of stuff slide, but with a championship game on the line, it's you got to be pretty accurate on your calls and non-calls.
Yeah, well, we were watching the Patriots Chiefs game, Boomer Esiason, and like before they went to that game, it was just like, how can you do that?
Yeah.
He was livid. I love Boomer, he was just like, how does
that? That's just, I mean, they call that interference, you know, sometimes when they barely touch the receiver.
Yes.
And this is, you know, the guy's up in the air almost like trying to catch it and then he just runs into him, takes him out of bounds.
Exactly.
So
if there's ever a time that pass interference should be reviewed, it should be within like 2 minutes of a championship game or whatever.
Right, it's gotta be. Absolutely.
How that's not able to be reviewed, some penalties aren't able to be reviewed, like within 2 minutes or something. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? And I'm one of those people that thinks the ref should swallow the whistle normally.
Right.
Like, just let him play.
Yeah, yes.
But when it's that blatant, you cannot.
Yeah.
you have to call it.
Right.
And so it was disappointing. And then, of course, we watched the second game. You know, so basically the two teams that most of us didn't want to get in have got into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I don't want the Pats to get in because it's like, you know, now they might not win, but they might win. And it's like, as long as they're out, I don't have to worry about them winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, maybe if they win another Super Bowl, maybe Tom Brady will retire. And like, no, he's not going to retire.
He's going to be out there in a wheelchair probably throwing bombs.
Throwing dimes to Edelman and Gronk, Gronk in his wheelchair too.
Yeah. Something's got to happen to Edelman for sure.
Yeah, man.
He's just wiry and he just gets open so quick.
Oh, and that was another thing. Remember that ball that bounced right in front of him?
Yeah, the muff punt. We thought the Kansas City got the muff punt there on the return and ran it in for the touchdown. And then watching the replay, it's like, did he really? How lucky can you get,
know,
man?
I know. It's just like, it's destiny that they just.
I know. It does seem like that.
Something. Maybe Norm Kraft made some deal with the devil or something. Sacrificed something. that was just a disappointing day of football. I was in no mood to record this after that. I'm just like, you know what? Screw this, man.
Yeah,
I'm just done.
Last night.
I'm going to bed. So I just wanted to do a couple of quick Bills news and notes. Just let people know. I'm sure a lot of people know already. The Bills hired a special teams coach, Heath Farwell, who's the assistant special teams coach in Carolina. Just for reference, according to Football Outsiders, the Bills special team ranked 32nd last season, which is not a big surprise at all to anyone that watched the Bills. And Carolina ranked 18th. So I'm kind of one of those guys that's of the opinion, like, special teams, it's either they matter a lot or they don't matter at all. Like, for the most part, like 90% of the teams, like just have average special teams, right? Like right. But like if you're at the very top or the very bottom, like it shows.
Yeah, yeah. It can make or break a game at that point.
A game and like a few games in a season. And so like it'd be nice if the Bills just end up in the middle.
Yeah, just do their job. Don't let any big plays up. And yeah, that'd be nice.
A decent run back every once in a while would be nice, more than 10 yards.
The ball maybe on a 35 once in a while wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. We wouldn't be opposed to that. It wouldn't be awful. The guy just kind of seems like a McDermott guy. He just seems like a process guy through and through. He like wears his like receiver gloves and cleats to every practice. Right, like kind of cool. And then the Bills hired an offensive line coach, Bobby Johnson, who is the assistant O-line coach in Indy, which the Colts offensive line ranked first in the league in sack percentage, allowing a league low 18 sacks for Andrew Luck. And he was taken down less than 3% of his dropbacks. So that's kind of cool. Again, like somebody was talking to me on Twitter and said, like, yeah, I look forward to, you know, doing a lot of research on these guys. And I was kind of like, you know, and that's maybe just this might just be my laziness. It's like we don't know how these guys are going to do. They might have done great with their other teams. You might not have the same talent. He might not be as good of a coach as the actual non-assistant. Yeah. So
a lot of it comes down to the players, you know, acceptance of them and how they handle the players and get into their heads on, you know, how they want to perform. But I think we're making some good changes this year coming up. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Allen stays healthy and, you know, can, mature as a quarterback for our franchise.
Yes. Yes. So we'll get into Josh Allen a little bit. I know that the Bills also re-signed Lorenzo Alexander to a one-year deal, so that's kind of cool. Obviously, with the departure of Kyle Williams, they need some sort of veteran leadership in the locker room. So, Bob, like you mentioned how you have family from Louisiana and you rooted for the Saints growing up, but you're also a Bills fan.
Yes.
So how did you become a Bills fan? Because was it through like other family members or what?
Yeah, it was my godmother, Patty, is from Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I always joke around saying, unfortunately, she was a Buffalo Bills fan, which made me a Buffalo Bills fan. But I think, I don't know. I mean, growing up, I was, you know, just hopping back and forth early, didn't have a set team.
Yep.
And then I think when we went to the Super Bowl there for straight years, I kind of got into it a little more, and then it just stuck with it. And
yeah.
I'm the type of person that doesn't want to wishy-wash on teams. I, you know, stick with the Bills up through the ups and downs. Yeah. And hopefully before I hit the dirt, they can bring one home.
please, just one. What about so you also had a dog with a Bills player name, right? Did you have a dog named after a Bills quarterback?
I don't think Flutie? So, did I? No, that was a cat.
Oh, there was a cat.
We had a cat named Flutie at one point. we jumped on that bandwagon. We got the subs from Wegmans the Flutie Flakes. We jammed them out, which weren't, I don't think, too healthy for you, but.
You know what's cool, though, about your family? So, like, your mom is a big Bills fan.
Yeah.
And she watches games with you. My mom's a huge Bills fan.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's actually one of the reasons. I think that's the reason why I am a big Bills fan is because of my mom.
Okay.
My dad could care less. He's more of a Seahawks fan for some reason. Never grew up a big Bills fan. And just never, even now, doesn't
really
care.
With a name like Bill.
Bill. That's, come on, Dad. Jeez. Oh, yeah. I just shake my head even more now that he's not a Bills fan.
Just had to
it's the Buffalo
up,
Bills, Dad. Bill. He's like, no, I'm going to be a Seahawks fan. And he's only a Seahawks fan when they're in the Super Bowl, too. So it's like, right. It's like I can't even respect his fandom. But anyway, this isn't a dad bashing a podcast.
Bill, we love you.
Bill, we quick story. Can we tell the story from 4th of July when we had my dad over?
So we I don't know, can we?
Yeah, we could talk about it. We could talk about the first part, at least, the question you asked him. So my dad's a veteran. He's a Marine Corps veteran. He served in Vietnam. He was in the Vietnam War. He fought there. And we had your family was nice enough to invite my family over for 4th of July.
Yeah, we had a big party going on around the pool. Everything was done up nice, food and drinks and stuff. We were all getting a little buzz on, you know, just getting to know Nate's dad a little more. I'm popping questions at him and stuff. And Bill's got a little buzz on, starts telling war stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's telling stories that he never told his son.
Oh, he did? Jeez, I didn't know that.
But, you know, he let some language fly out, which was awesome.
Yeah, but he was, you were like, well, we're gonna fire off some firecrackers later, some fireworks later and make you.
Yeah, I was afraid he was going to have shell shock or something. You know, I've seen veterans get like that and. You know,
but you were just like, I'll make you feel like you're back in Nam, Bill. And I never really.
Yeah, I'm a dick when I'm drinking.
But it was funny because my dad didn't miss a beat. He just thought he was like, well, you know, they didn't actually. Yeah. It was funny. My dad was a good sport about that.
Definitely.
So, I mean, imagine being like, you know, 50 years out of the war, like your feelings aren't quite the same as they were before. So, so your mom's a big Bills fan, but. Your brother's not.
No.
No.
Okay, we're going to dump into that, I guess. My brother and my two little darling nephews are Dolphins fans.
Yeah.
And so growing up, my brother was a Dolphins fan. I was a Bills fan. So we'd always, you know, kind of hate on each other for that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But we always rooted for each other's teams when we weren't playing together, it seemed.
Yeah.
You know, because... You know, it's the bro thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went to the last game there for Kyle Williams and took my nephews and my brother up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all Dolphins fans. And we kind of sat in the visitor's side, which was kind of, you know, awkward for me. But, you know, I was afraid that, you know, because the Buffalo Bills fans are so great.
Oh, yeah.
they were going to get picked on. But everybody was cool.
They were cool?
Good. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of Dolphins fans there. Everybody behaved.
Good.
Kiko Alonso should be kneecapped.
Yeah, cool. That's a whole other thing. That's good. I'm glad to hear that the Bills fans were good to at least the kids and, you know, stuff like that. You know, it's funny. It's just I would say, like, your brother is probably the coolest Dolphins. If we can call any Dolphins fans cool,
right.
Like because he's the first guy to admit he's like, yeah, my team kind of sucks too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, you gotta have that kind of, you know, you can't go out there saying that, you know, the Dolphins are the greatest, you know, and all the other teams suck, because that's not just true.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, so I always respected him as being a. He's like, yeah, you know, well, we don't have a quarterback either.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That sort of thing. So he's cool.
He keeps it even.
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that your two nephews were able to enjoy a Bills game. You know, because that's one of the things that's always kind of tough. It's like, when do we take our son to, you know, his first Bills game? Because there's some things that you don't really want to see necessarily or whatever. And that's actually goes into, like, there's been a lot of talk about building a new stadium.
Right.
And one of the reasons why they want to do that is because if they build it downtown, first of all, it's going to, like, make the Jerry Joneses of the world happy, because it's going to be a brand new stadium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's going to look great and nice if they ever want to do either the draft there or the Super Bowl there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they can do that. And then they all, but the problem is for fans is they eliminate tailgating a lot.
Right.
But from the Bills standpoint, and Matt brought this up on the Bills Q&A, on the Rumblings Q&A podcast last week. He's part of the podcast network, right. So I like to pump that when I can. But yeah, he brought it up. He's like, there's absolutely no money in it for the Pagulas for tailgating.
Right. No, definitely not. If anything, it creates a big headache for him, I'm sure.
Yes.
As far as, like, you know, the garbage removal and, you know, all that, you know, just the liability of, you know, the fans getting after it.
The dead spin videos and the tailbone breaking. Yeah. And
I mean, it's good. Some of it's good. I mean, no publicity is bad, but when you're lighting fires and cracking tables, you know.
But
you don't want to, you know, have a little kid around for that.
No, no. And Matt brought up a good point. He's like, the Pagulas don't make any money off tailgating. They literally don't.
Right.
You know, because if anything, they just make less money, because what happens is you end up you end up drinking in the parking lot.
Right.
And then so that makes you much less likely to order a beer in the stadium, because you've already had 10, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think the Bills fans do all right.
They're going to drink no matter what. I've never seen an empty line at a at a blue light table or whatever, you know? So, but yeah, so it's kind of crazy. You know, I'm definitely at a different point, because when we used to have season tickets and we used to tailgate and it was a great time, and it was fun. And it's like, now that we're older and we kind of have kids, and, you know, it's like, I can't bring them to a game until, like, right now, probably, what would you say, like 10?
Eight, 9 would probably be a fair age, I'm thinking. They're old enough to, you know what's going on, then old enough to where you really don't have to keep the whole constant eye on them and babysit them the whole time while you're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I think eventually they're going to move that way towards a downtown stadium, but I know it kind of suck. Traffic would be terrible. I mean, traffic's pretty bad anyway. You guys missed the traffic.
Yeah, we showed up. We had a family Christmas breakfast before we went, and we showed up. We just got into the stadium to our seats right at kickoff, so it was just kind of perfect. We didn't waste any time out in the parking lot or do any of that. And then we left a little early just to beat the traffic, which was not too bad at that point because the Bills were up and we were over it.
Did they do anything cool for Kyle Williams at the beginning of the game?
Yeah, they had like a little storyline for him going on the boards, and you know, everybody was kind of, you know, in that mode of wanting to see him get the ball a couple times and do some different stuff than you normally see. So we're actually right in the end zone when they drove it down and gave him the ball to score the touchdown.
Oh,
I was pretty close to that, which was awesome.
Oh yeah,
well, I mean the stadium was just on fire at that point. It was cool as hell.
Well, that was the one they thought they were going to give it to Kyle. They ended up Josh Allen just ended up sneaking it in, and you were like, "Oh, they're going to give it to Kyle," just like last year at this time, and they didn't. But he caught that pass, and it was a crazy moment. I mean, I'm hoping that we have a player like Kyle that like ends up retiring and be with the Bills for 13 years, but that's. I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
It's hard to do this day and age, yes.
It's so hard with free agency. And I mean, even if Josh Allen ends up being a franchise quarterback, the odds of him not making a jump in the final stages of his career are so, it's so unlikely, you know.
Yes.
So you make this amazing Christmas dinner every year at the house. You this year it was prime rib, right?
Yeah.
And so you're busy all morning. You're prepping. You're getting everything ready. You're getting the appetizers ready. All this stuff. Like, you're a great cook. And your mom's like, "Bob, you need to come into the other room. There's something."
Oh, we're doing a little family gift option. I'm out in the kitchen trying to make sure everything's going well perfect for dinner.
Yeah.
And we go in there, and my mom's giving gifts to my nephews and my brother. And they're like handmade dolphins blankets and all this dolphin stuff. And I'm just like, "Really? You made me stop doing what I was doing to come and witness them unwrapping these dolphin stuff?" I was kind of, you know, I wasn't irritated, but I pretended.
Pretended to be.
Yeah, just a little joke, but it was good.
Thanks, Mom. You ruined Christmas.
Yeah, right.
That was funny.
You think I got a Buffalo Bills blanket? Nope.
No, she just wanted to make sure you saw the dolphin stuff getting unwrapped. but it's cool. Your mom's the nicest lady ever. And so even as a Bills fan, she's just sewing together and stitching together some dolphin stuff for your nephews and brother and stuff like that.
She knows that's her team and they love them.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
The only thing I'm discouraging is when my two nephews try to push their dolphins agenda on your son.
Oh yeah.
My other nephew, my little baby nephew, who's also going to be a Bills fan for life. we were at the family breakfast there before we went to the game, and they're trying to tell him, you know, "Go Dolphins, go Dolphins." I'm like, "You guys stop this right now."
I'm glad that you were there to set them right. It's funny. I definitely want my son. So I think I told this story in the podcast before, but I'll tell it real quick. Is when we told me and my wife, your sister, told my parents that we were pregnant. We said, "Oh, well, you know," they're like, "Oh, do you know what you're having?" And we weren't going to find out. So we're like, "No, we don't know what we're having. But all I know is he or she is definitely going to be a Bills fan."
Oh, yeah. That's predestined.
And my parents are like, "Oh, that's cool. Are they going to be religious?" I'm like, "Oh, well, we'll see." That's a possibility.
Well, I guess when you go to predestined, you want to bring some religion into it. But there's another force out there.
I'm like, "I haven't thought that far ahead yet. Let's do one thing at a time."
Right.
But I mean, you know, I sometimes wonder that, like, I'm hoping that for his life, because our life started out great as Bills fans, like up until we were like 10 or 12.
Yes.
And then it's been pretty rough.
Yeah.
Minus last year.
The coaches changing around and then the ownership changing, which I think went well. Actually, I think the Pagulas are doing a great job.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, once you hit rock bottom for 10 years, there's only one way but up.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, we go up faster than, you know, slower, I guess.
Yeah, I think we will. I think we will.
Progress a little faster instead of having another. I like to make the playoffs last season, at least, you know. Mm-hmm. But
you know, the Bills were considered to be one of the worst teams in the league at the beginning of the year.
Right.
Like people were saying, well, can Alabama beat Buffalo? You know how they always do that against the worst team in the league?
The best college team, which is Clemson, by the way, now.
Bob, not a big Alabama fan.
Yeah, roll tears, roll.
Well, you're a Tigers fan because you're LSU, Louisiana family.
A lot of family went ties. To LSU and always been an LSU Tigers fan, which is going through some changes also after Les Miles left and
Ed Orgeron, right?
Yeah.
I always liked Ed Orgeron.
Yeah. But I think, you know, they're going to come back in the next couple of years and be a pretty good SEC team.
Oh, yeah.
Get back up on top where they should be.
Yep. I think Orgeron should have gotten that job when Sarkisian took it in USC. All the players like basically went to the AD and said they wanted Ed Orgeron as their coach, and he was just like, nope, you know.
Right.
So like, what does that say about that kind of guy?
Yeah.
Guys love him. And going back to that point about the Bills, I think this is the first time since you and I have been following since maybe Marv Levy or maybe Wade Phillips at
that we have a coach that, you know, is not gonna, you know, be a boisterous douche or, you know, leave us, you know.
leave us after 2 years.
Yeah, you know, take the rest of his money and jet.
Yeah. So. or be like Rex Ryan where he's just, you know, that goes back to what I was saying earlier about coaches. And, like, we really never know how they're going to do because the Bills had, like, the number 4 ranked defense or something when Rex Ryan took over. And everyone's like, oh, Rex Ryan is a defensive guy. He's going to do great. He comes in, they're like the 26th ranked defense.
Yeah.
So
it's all, it's all relative to, I don't know.
It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to hope that you're on the better side of the crapshoot. I mean, it's better, like, that they're hiring these guys and we're like, oh, you know, they seem like pretty decent guys as opposed to, like, really, Rex, you're going to hire your brother.
Right.
Who is worse, who's one of the worst defensive coordinators in NFL history, you know, because that's going to get better all of a sudden. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we got the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. We got the Patriots Rams Super Bowl, which I think we're all going to be Rams fans. Pretty much everyone outside the New England area.
Yes.
So we talked about that kind of conspiracy wise. Maybe that's why they didn't make that call against the Saints for the Rams because an LA Super Bowl is a lot more interesting than a New Orleans Saints Super Bowl.
Right.
You know. A lot more viewers in Los Angeles, more
conspiracy theories fly. It's all scripted.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't necessarily subscribe to a lot of conspiracy theories. I mean, I like listening to all of them.
But when you get something like that, you know, it's a call like that. It's just like, it's just not, I don't know. It's unbelievable. I mean, I can imagine the fans there being, you know, watching the replays and, I mean, how can you be that ref, too, you know, that didn't throw the flag? I mean, I'm sure there's a couple of them that seen it and in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how can you sleep at night,
I know, man. And these
ruin
are
these guys, you know, this whole year they worked hard for.
Exactly. The last, like, 6-8 months of practicing. And you know, you said this yesterday. These are supposed to be some of the best refs.
These are, you know, they got to be the top of the top, you know, to do these games. And, you know, how can you get to that point, you know, in your field and mess up like that?
I know.
It's like a surgeon messing up a surgery that's been, you know, done it 1,000 times. And, you know, you leave your cell phone in someone. Oops.
Thanks for talking, Bills, in this vacation podcast edition. We're going to be back next week. We're going to talk. It's really cool. We're going to talk to one of our friends that's like a good betting expert. We're going to talk about props bets for the Super Bowl and stuff like that, like the national anthem, like the length of the national anthem, heads or tails. Like we're just going to shoot the shit about just certain prop bets and then maybe talk a little Bills, too, like we always do. And just give some general thoughts on that. So thanks for coming on. So I don't know if you know this, but every time we sign off, we say go Bills. So for Bob, Uncle Bob.
We're going to actually make a bet real quick because we're going golfing here soon.
Oh, no.
Loser buys lunch. You heard it here. But, hey, go Bills.
For me, Nate, I never agreed to that bet, but I'll proudly take it on. Go Bills. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.